Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert Breer is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Albert, I saw your tweet, and a couple people tweeted about, you know, the latest numbers. Overall, great. But our first two positive test players, you know, since the season started, do we know who the players are? And you know, in baseball, there's one positive test on a team, they shut it down. What is going on with those two players that did test positive?
You know, I'm sure I know the names, and I just don't have them in front of me right now.
Yeah,
there are very
fine.
Few players in the list. That has to become public because it goes on the transaction wire, guys. So
right.
When you have those two positives, those guys have to go on the COVID-19 list. The COVID-19 list goes out to all 32 teams, so there's no keeping that secret.
Right.
So I wish I had the names in front of me right now. I don't. Obviously, they're not – I don't want to minimize anything here, but obviously they're not huge names or else they would be top of mind. But I don't think the league's hiding anything here, if that's what you're asking.
Gotcha.
Albert, as we go into week number two, let's go back and just look a little bit at the Browns game on Sunday. Embarrassing performance by Cleveland, losing by 32 points to the Baltimore Ravens. Not ashamed to lose to them, nothing to be ashamed of there, but to lose that way and for the Browns to play so poorly, a bit of a concern. Were you surprised by the way the Browns played in week one?
Well, you know, I would say two things, Dustin. I mean, one, the Ravens might be the best team in the league. They were the best team in the league for the balance of the regular season last year. They're difficult to play because they're creative and they reinvent themselves a lot. And so I think in this particular year, that's a really tough draw, having to play the Ravens in week one. That said, the second part of this, you probably – like you can look at certain things within that game and definitely say this is alarming. And I think the way that they let the Ravens go down the field on them in the 2 minute at the end of the first half was a problem. And I think the, you know, I just like look at the look. You hang on 1 second, guys. I don't know if Keith warned you. Time to
Albert's right getting some dinner right now. So
no, I got it. I actually whispered my name to the Chick-fil-A.
I heard that.
I was dealing with let's just say like four people passed me in line because the guy who was taking my order was so slow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
what did you get, Albert? Did you go nuggets or did you go spicy chicken?
I think the Ravens, Albert. But I do think that you'd be looking for a more competitive performance. There's no question about it, and I think the improvement you wanted to see from your quarterback, from Baker, wasn't there. Now, they're assimilating some new pieces on the offensive line, and that's a factor. And the fact that you didn't get physical reps in the preseason with that group together, you know, having two new tackles is going to be an issue. But, yeah, I don't think that there's any question that, you know, you look at, like, certain little things. Again, like that two-minute drive at the end of the first half, where Lamar Jackson led the Ravens right down the field with less than a minute on the clock. There are definitely some things that you can point to and look at and say, that needs to be a lot better.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. All right, Albert, so you start with the Ravens on the road. This week, on a short week, you get the Bengals at home. And, you know, what we saw with the Bengals last week was that their offensive line remains absolute garbage. Now, Jonah Williams looked good, but the rest of their line stinks. And so Burrow was getting hit pretty much every play, especially in the first half. And They have no Geno Atkins, no Mike Daniels, so two of their top three defensive tackles are out. I mean, the Browns should have a big edge in the trenches both ways, and they, unlike last week, they should win this game. Should fans have any confidence that they'll actually do it?
I don't know. That's a pretty good Charger team that went in there, and I mean, like, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Would you be more encouraged by Cincinnati or Cleveland's week one performance?
By far Cincinnati, not even close.
Right. So, yeah. And that Cincinnati team was dealing with a Charger team that is very, very good on the defensive front, right, with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Yep. You saw a continued fight from Joe Burrow.
Yes.
I think the way Joe Burrow looked in the last 2 minutes of that game, outstanding. I'm really encouraged with how Joe Burrow looked in general and how he fought through some of that stuff. And, you know, I still think that there's talent on that Bengals roster. And, you know, it's, yes, the offensive line issue's there. And you hope that with some of the young guys, Jonah Williams being one that you mentioned, Michael Jordan, Billy Price, like they, you hope that that's going to develop over time. They still have skill guys. They still have some talent in the secondary. They've already had some injuries. But, I mean, if I'm Cincinnati, I feel pretty decent about how I came out of week one. And I think Cleveland's still searching for some of the things that Cincinnati got in week one, if that makes sense. Like
yes.
The fight, the ability to kind of get through certain things and work through some new pieces being out there. They, of course, have, you know, a first-year left tackle in Jonah Williams. He didn't play at all last year. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I see what you're saying, Bull, that, like, you know, Cleveland should win the game based just on talent on the roster and the advantage they have on the offensive and defensive lines. You know, that said, I think before you start looking at the problem Cincinnati has, the Browns need to look in the mirror a little bit because
I think
the Bengals found some stuff last week that the Browns are still looking for.
You're right. Joe Burrow showed you that if he eventually gets protection, he's going to be good. I mean, well, I guess you don't know for sure. It's one game. That's silly to say. That was my impression of it. It's a good point. Hey, Albert, Odell Beckham Jr., obviously the first game kind of went a lot like a lot of the games went last year. We were hoping, you know, he's healthy this year. It'll be better. There seems to be bad body language from him, maybe some bad chemistry with him and Baker. Who knows what the reality is? I know Mike Francesa said yesterday the Browns are trying to trade him. I don't buy that Mike really knows that, but, you know, who knows? But what is there a chance that Odell gets traded this year?
I'd be a little worried about where he is right now. You know, and I'm not saying that means he's going to be traded between now and the end of October or whenever the trade deadline falls this year. Might be beginning of November. But I just, you know, I think there were some things in place where, you know, he's one of these guys that goes the way the season takes him, if that makes sense. And so, like, because of how much money he makes and because of the fame that he has, he's naturally in a leadership position in your locker room, and people are going to sort of follow what, and I don't know if the infrastructure is strong enough around him where, if things, like, sort of swing in the wrong direction. And listen, I think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and everyone there, they deserve time, right? You need to give them time. You signed up for a couple of guys who are in their first time in these positions. But if things, like, sort of continue to unravel and you find out the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season are going to be rough, like, I don't know where that takes Odell Beckham, because I do think Odell Beckham needs strong infrastructure around him. And so even though this might not be real right now, like, I think other teams are going to be monitoring this and they're going to watch it. And they're going to, if there's like little signs there, I think the Browns are going to start getting phone calls. And where does that lead you?
Wow.
I don't know. You know, I don't think the Giants intended to trade out either, you know, the very thing. But because things were going there, because of handling his business there, that's sort of what sparked that. Could something similar happen in Cleveland? I don't think you can rule it out, because nobody's stopping other teams from making those phone calls. And now, if, you know, all of a sudden you're Cleveland and there's a really good return on the table and Odell isn't fully bought into what you're doing, you have to start to think about it, don't you? Like,
sure.
I don't know. Like, that's just sort of the way I look at it. And his contract, which was, I mean, I think, sort of an issue for the Giants. Now you look what other guys are making, it's kind of affordable, right? Like, so there's just, I mean, look, like, I think sometimes these things get sort of, in a way, they can be spoken into reality, if that makes sense. And, you know, say, if things aren't good for the first 5, 6, 7 weeks of the season, you know, I do think the Browns are going to get calls on Odell Beckham's potential availability. And they can hang right up on those people if they want to. But I don't think that's doing, you know, I don't think that's Andrew Berry doing his job either. Like, if people call and offer something good, listen, right? So
sure.
I think sort of where things go with Odell Beckham, it's sort of who he's always been, right? Like, it's where the team takes him. And when the Giants were in a good spot, no one was talking there about trading Odell Beckham, right? It was when things went wrong. And so if things don't correct themselves over the next 6 or 7 weeks, I do think other teams are going to make that phone call because perception out there is going to be, well, you know, maybe he's available.
Albert, do you think at some point this year, if Baker doesn't play better, we'll see Case Keenum?
I don't think so, guys. I mean, look, Dustin, the reality here for quarterbacks across the NFL, look at the way Mitch Trubisky is looked at this year versus the way he was looked at last year. You know, I think that it exists for all the quarterbacks in the class of 2018 now. You know, for Josh Allen and for Sam Darnold too. You know, if those three guys, if Baker and Darnold and Allen struggle in 2018, different questions are going to be asked, or in 2020, different questions of them are going to be asked in 2021, because now you're starting to get in the territory where you have to make the decision on the fifth year option. You have to make a decision on whether or not you're going to sign them to a long-term deal. And so, like, I think this year has to be about, in a lot of ways, getting answers on Baker Mayfield. I think things would have to go really, really wrong for Baker to be pulled out of the lineup. To me, I still think there's something there. I still really like him as a player. And I still think a lot of what we saw when everybody was excited about him as a rookie can be pulled out of him. But, you know, I think you have to give yourself every chance to find out for sure. And I don't think you do that by pulling the plug on the guy in week 7 or 8.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, you know, one of these days, I know everybody thinks he's superhuman and he has been, but eventually, like it happened with Peyton Manning and everybody else, Tom Brady's going to fall off the cliff. We've been counting it, you know, we've been talking about it for a while. Obviously, a bad first start. Is it possible that Tom Brady has a bad season this year? You buying any chance of that?
So, I didn't see a ton of physical regression. Now, I'm not a scout or a coach, but people I've talked to, I don't know that there's physical regression there. Now, I think what you see sometimes with these guys is their clock speeds up, and they start to get frustrated, and they give up on plays quicker. And that changes the calculus of everything for a quarterback. I think that's what we saw with Favre, to be quite honest with you, the last year in Minnesota. And he was great the year before that, right? Like,
right.
People forget, like, that first year in Minnesota, he was dynamite. So I don't think we're there yet. What I do think, though, is that this is all very, very new for Tom. And so think about this, guys, right? Like, look at what he dealt with in his first week. They went off sides on a 4th and 2 on defense. They fumbled a kickoff. They got a field goal blocked. They almost got into an on-field fight. When Mike Evans and Marshon Lattimore got into it. Like, how often did he deal with 4 separate things like that in 1 week in New England?
Never.
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 Never. Like, and so if you're Tom, you're probably sitting there and you're like, oh my God. And you start to realize a little bit of what you had. And now I think how he reacts to that and how he responds to that going forward is going to be really, really interesting, because he came from such a detail-oriented place. And, you know, like, he would go in back in on Tuesdays when he was in New England, and he'd spend, like, the whole afternoon and night with Josh McDaniels and with Bill Belichick, and there was so much detail in what they were doing. It's just a different place, you know, than almost anywhere else in the entire sport. And so I think it's going to be really interesting seeing how Tom reacts to what happened in week one, and then how that Tampa coaching staff can give him the same sort of resources that he had in New England, give him the detail that he had, give him the sort of, you know, kind of reaction that he would have in New England to a loss. To me, coming off of that loss, where Drew Brees didn't play very well, and, like, the Saints still could have won that game by 3 scores, it's just going to be really, really interesting seeing the response both from Tom to the Buccaneers and from the Buccaneers staff to Tom.
Albert, last thing quickly. We got about 30 seconds. Gardner yep. Minshew, is he legit, or is he still just a bridge?
I personally think he's going to wind up being the bridge. That said, he looked awesome on Sunday, and the guys who coached him really, really believe in him. You know, guys who've been around right. him believe in him. There's just something there. Like, whatever the it is, he has that in spades. So I think this thing kind of takes care of itself naturally, Dustin. You know, if he plays yeah. great, they're not going to be in position to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or Trey Lance. If he sucks and they're bad, well, then you have your answer, right? So,
yeah.
like, I just think one way or the other, we're probably going to get the answer. And if, you know, if he's not the guy, then the Jaguars aren't good enough around him to make up for it, and they're probably in position to get one of those 3 quarterbacks in April. You know, but if he's great, then, you know, I think the Jags probably play their way out of being in position to take one of those guys.
Now, Wyatt Davis just tweeted out that he's going to play this year. He's planning to play this year now, coming back to the Buckeyes. I know, Albert, you're pumped to get your Buckeyes back.
Hey,
yes.
You know what? Like, a very serious tell, guys. Like, those guys, Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis didn't sign with agents. That should
yeah.
tell you something, right?
That's
like,
true.
I think the timing of their announcements, they were very, very interesting, I'll put it that way. And yeah. Go Bucks, Dustin.
Go Buckeyes. Good to have him back, thankfully.
Thanks, Albert. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Albert.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.